Taira Chaf Beis, we're up to paragraph Ches. We will be starting, going to use Rav Chaim Kramer's note to help us sum up where we're at so that we can go forward. He said the Torah starts off to mitigate any decree, a judgment that is going to be issued against the world, Rachmana Litzlan. This involves the tzaddikim. The gzardin is the din Torah. We know that Torah lo b'shamayim hi, and therefore the tzaddikim, who we will see, play a dual role. One of their roles as is to give an eitzah, as it were, to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and as part of this eitzah, they're going to minimize whatever the sin was that was committed, to argue that there should be a mituk in the din, that it should be tempered. On the other hand, the tzaddikim also a bechin of raglin. We said raglin is eitzah. Raglin is also that they are sent. They're sent from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give teichacha, to give rebuke to the people, so that the people will do tshuva, the people will repent. And we explored this whole idea of what it means to have a mituk in the din, what it means to try to argue and affect and temper the din before it's issued and after it's issued. In terms of having a tempering of the judgment upon shuva, there is always going to be a consequence for actions. But we discussed a lot of ideas. The idea that whenever there's a decree that's issued, on one hand it's a consequence of action, and it's needed to, if you think about it, to restore balance in the world. People did an avera, and for that there's an effect. Also, the reason that sometimes there's yisurim is to give a message, to get people to do tshuva. If that balance is changed by people doing tshuva, they're not the same person. They got the message without need for the yisurim, right? They self-corrected, corrected with the tzaddik, or alternatively, they were able to affect something in the tshuva to otherwise change the balance in the world, then there might not be a need for that gzar din. So it's not chas v'shalom to say a Chodesh Baruch Hu is just mevatel, let's bygones be bygones. It's that through the tshuva process, there can actually be a tempering of the judgment. Now, this is the tzaddikim arguing on behalf of the people to temper the din, but in order for this process to work, the tzaddikim have to give teichacha to the people, there has to be a connection. There's that in this role, the tzaddikim are going to be the mashpi, as it were. They're giving the teichacha. The people have to be makabel. That connection is formed through emuna. The people have to have emunas chacham. There has to be a relationship there between the people and the tzaddikim, between those who need to receive the musr. And we're talking about musr at a primal level. We're talking about self-correction, not just to the effect of the gzar din. So the outer seal, as it were, the Tyrus Chaysim Se Chaysim, is the Amunah with the Chachamim. In order for the first thing that has to be working backwards is there has to be a connection between the people and the tzaddik. And at that point, then the inner seal, the tzaddik will be able to do their job. How is this Amunah developed? So Rav Chaim Kramer says that perfect faith is drawn only through the Shiva Royim, within whom are encompassed the leaders of the generation. And we said, well, here I am, I'm trying to do the right thing, and there's the leaders of the generation attaching to the Shiva Rayim, developing Amunah, and that would allow me to attach myself to the tzaddik and to do Mosur. But if you look at the world, the influence is not always held by the Shiva Rayim, by the tzaddikim. There's false leaders also, the people that have Azus, they're klovim, they bark. We talked about the significance of this. So how is it that we can break the influence, the immediate influence of the false leaders? There needs to be a certain azus de kedusha, and we actually explained that this dynamic exists in the people attaching themselves to the tzaddikim, to the true leaders, and being able to get out of the immediate influence of the false leaders. And it exists also on a proteistic level between the influence, the immediate influence of the guf, and us being able to get in touch with our own neshama. Now, how does a person tap into this azus de kedusha to break out of the immediate influence? Through a kol de kedusha. We talked about a kol of tzaaka, of screaming out, of tefila, a kol of anocha, shayfer, zimra, different types of kolos. Now, the kol, a person feels a certain chisar, and they're trapped by the leaders, by their guf, and now they need to break out of that influence. There has to be a kol. The problem is that because the world has it's in a balance, whenever there's a kol de kedusha, then the negative forces will also be stirred up. So here a person is, and now on one hand they feel like their life is lacking something. Here on one hand there's the kol de kedusha that's trying to pull them to forge that connection to get them out of the influence of the guf of the negative leaders. On the other hand, now that the kol of kedusha was raised, the negative kol, which we call an echo, is it raised also, and says, no, you know what you're missing? Again, we're simplifying a little bit. This was explored in the shiurs. You're not missing going to the base medrash. You're not missing the kedusha. You're missing, you're not going on enough vacation. You obviously just don't have the best gashmius. And now the person is caught in the middle. Therefore, paragraph Ches is going to start out telling us how we should sensitize ourselves to the kol of kedusha and not get trapped and confused by the corresponding kol havara. Now you have the two parts, you have the two prerogatives, you have the etzem, the structure, what is the tachlis, the tafkid of a person, and now you have the basar. Again, this applies both in the pratiistic dynamic and also the klalius. So when you have the basar, it has its own priorities, it has its own taivas, it has its own gashmiistic preferences, and yet on the other hand, the basar is also the vehicle, it's the halbasha, it's the dressing, it's the interface with the etzem, with the structure, in order to accomplish the tafkid, in order to, in the klaliistic sense, get close to the tzaddik, and to be able to fulfill as a nation the tafkid of the nation. So how is it that the basar is going to play its role vis-a-vis the etzem? And that's going to be hu al yidei hashimush, using, functioning through meisim, through basardic activities, to service the etzem. When the guf carries out the priorities of the neshama, when the people shteltzu, the people subscribe and relate in a practical way to the tzaddik, that's going to be where it becomes one integrated whole, one system. Al yidei shemeshamesh es hachacham. He brings over here in the note, the Gemara from Bava Kama. It says sometimes kisheshalu tano amora shaila hu oimer lehem shekoidim shiyane, that a tano or amora, before answering a question, would request shiyashamshu oisai. Right, you have to bridge the connection. Otherwise, there's going to be, in order for two things to get together, there has to be a connection over there, a mashpi and a makabel. If you know, for instance, if you're going to try to attach, even if you're going to glue two things, they might not stick. They might not go together. It has to be that they're receptive to a connection. Maybe you have to sand it down first, or you have to remove any impediments, take off the dirt, or a rough surface might stick better than a smooth surface. So, in order for two things to attach, there has to be a point of attachment. How is it that you can ready the people, ready the basar, that there should be a munas chachamim? How can you ready the kli to be able to be makabel from the mashpia? You can sensitize the basar to the ruchnius, in order, by taking the maisim and making it that the maisim also are mashamish, the etzem, that the maisim are mashamish, the ruchnius cause. So over here it says, how is it that the people can forge this connection with the tzaddik? Through sheep being mishamish the chacham, he mentions over here from the CL Sarfei Kodesh. So how could we mishamish over here, Rabbeinu, to make sure, he says, who possession shkiach lo yagia lo al yadenu shum bizoyin v'kalayin, that there shouldn't be any bizoyin attributed to the tzaddik, and to give tzedakah on his behalf, and to print sfarim. So there's ways, even if we're not around the tzaddik, to be mishamish the tzaddik. Nase b'chinas basar le'achacham. That's how we can make this connection, by using our maisim towards the tzaddik. V'chein al yidei shemishamish haguf l'hanashama ba'asiyas mitzvahs ma'asiyas, in order that the guf is going to be mishamish the neshama, or corresponding to the people being mishamish the tzaddik. Nasa guf b'chinas basar l'neshama, meaning the neshama, in our context, the neshama, by the way, if you have a loose neshama, right, a neshama is not going to be mekayem mitzvahs unless it's in the body. Using the example that we gave before, of, let's say, somebody driving a car, just to give, let's say, two examples to bring out the point. If I am driving a car, so then you could say, oh, I made a right turn. Now, that might include stepping on the gas, going into the turn. It might include checking my mirrors. It might include turning the steering wheel. Do I say that the car is doing something as part of this process? No, it's a merkava just solely for me. I'm just executing my rutzen through the car. On the other hand, let's say I'm taking a cab, and now there's a driver. The driver could really do whatever he wants. The driver happens to have the priority that he wants to make parnasa. He wants to get a good rating in Uber, whatever it is. And therefore, when I say I would like to make a right turn, I tell the driver, and then the driver does, because of his own decision, what I want. The more that the guf is mishamish the neshama, the more that it becomes just one unified whole, and the guf is really just a function of the neshama. The more that the guf has its own priorities, even if one of those priorities might be in line for the time being with ruchniyistic goals, but there's still a period over there. It's two separate things. And what we're trying to move to is where the basar is a halbasha, the basar is a merkava for the neshama. Kshabasar b'china azos, when the basar becomes batal to the etzem, az vidushalayim mevaser etain, then it's going to be Mekayim the Pasuk, to Yerushalayim is a Mavasar. Mavasar is like somebody who announces good news, good tidings. He mentions over here that there's a lot of dugmas in Drushas and Chazal that put together the idea of Basar and Basura, news and Basar. Okay, we'll take it for what it is. Mi Basar Hanimal Hanal. So we actually mentioned the idea of Mila at the end of Ois Hey. We're now making a connection between Yerushalayim, which is Mavasar. We're linking Mavasar, Besura, news, and Basar. Yerushalayim is the epitome of Emunah. Yerushalayim, Kirya Ne'amana. And we're linking Basar to Nimal, to Mila. What's Mila? Mila is where is representative of Yisayid, right? Mila is a breaking the Taivas Haguf. It's where some of the Basar, the Mila, gets cut off. It gets removed. It's a Shvira of the Taivas. Once there's a Shvira of the Taivas, those things that are standing in the way, and they're also creating their own pull. It's its own Taiva. Once there's a Shvira in the Taiva, the Shvira in the Midas, so then that makes it able that we could attach ourselves to the neshama, attach ourselves to the tzaddik. Nishlam Yerushalayim shehi kirya ne'emana hainu. So then there could be a shlemus in Yerushalayim, a shlemus in the emuna, and a shlemus in the emuna doesn't mean disregarding the basar. It means where the basar is the basar to the etzem. It doesn't mean disregarding the guf. It means where the guf is. It's a merkava. It's together. It's an integrated whole with the neshama. Kirya ne'emana hainu. This becomes the full expression of Amuna, where the people are able to get close to the tzaddikim. It's one whole, it's one nation with the priorities of the tzaddikim, who in their own way have a total hisbatlus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the real shlemus is where the tzaddikim of the Am. But the only way for the people to get close to the tzaddik is to have an Azus to Kedusha. The Azaz to Kedusha is necessary to break through the taiva that are pulling people in other directions. And the more that a person identifies with their guf, the more that a person identifies with those taivas and those priorities, it's not that I have 100% I want to do the right thing. And then there's the Yetzirah, it's an external party, it's trying to pull me in the wrong direction. But I 100% align with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the tzaddik. No, a person thinks that I have a taiva, I want chocolate cake, this is what I want to do. And we don't know. Who am I? Who do I identify with? When a person has Azus to Kedusha, they're able to break through this confusion, break through the bilbil between the Kol de Kedusha and the Havara. Shubachinas Kol HaKoyles de Kedusha. That the Azus to Kedusha is able to understand for what it is, the Kol de Kedusha. We understand that the other stuff is just noise. It's static. It's not actually competing. Maybe it seems to be competing because it seems to have a lot more influence. Down here, the Kol de Kedusha is rooted much higher than anything that's gashmis in this world. But from where I stand, if my antenna is up, I get a lot of static at my level. I seem to hear a lot of noise telling me what I want to go on vacation. I want to eat more. So for me, it sounds like a competing noise. But when I can break through all of the kailas at my altitude and I can hear something that's really much higher. I can hear those kolos to kedusha that I understand that everything else is just static. It's just getting in the way. I need to break through, and then I can align myself with the tzaddik. Mishabrim azus the sitra achara. I'm able to break the azus of the sitra achra. Shubachinas azus haguf v'zoichinles. Even though it's like we said, it's klavim. It makes a lot of noise, but it's just barking. V'zoichinles karev lizdabek aleim. And then a person can get close. They can be nourished from the emuna of the shivarayim. V'aydez zoichin lemuna shlema. Shebechinas Yerushalayim Kiryas Ne'amana Kanal. We've referenced Torah 7 before, talking about Eretz Yisrael, talking about Emuna in that context. But when a person can break through the Azus of the Sitra Achra, then they can align themselves with Emuna. They can be nourished from the Shiva Rayim, Rayim Hemna, all the Shiva Rayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu specifically. And coming back around to the beginning of the Torah, once this Emunah is in place, once this outer seal is in place, the connection between the Gufin and the Shama, but in a Klaliistic sense, the connection between the people and the Tzaddik based on Emunah, so now the Tzaddik are able to affect the Mituk in the Din, like we explained in the first year, that the Chitzoinim won't have access to be Yoinik from the Din Torah, but rather the Tzaddikim are going to be able to affect a Mituk in the Din Torah. And we had said that when there's a Gzar Din, it could lead to Gola, so this Emunah, this link which is associated with Yerushalayim, so now there can be a mituk in the din, and Emir Tashem, there won't be a need for Golas, there won't be a need for Gzeres. Now, as we go into paragraph Tess, just going to use Rav Chaim Kramer's note to introduce paragraph Tess, and also I wanted to go back and mention one thing. He says, note 93, he says, in the previous section, in section Ches, paragraph Ches, Rabbi Nachman explained that one attains the category of flesh. How does one attain the category of basar? So it's the basar is on the etzem. It's the basar is essentially a means to an end, but it's an integrated whole. It doesn't have its own personality. The basar is the vehicle through which the neshama connects, through which we connect with the neshama, through which the neshama connects to the tzaddik, through which there's a shlemos in the system and getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by performing mitzvahs and by serving the sage through maisim, right? In other words, we are able to get in touch with our neshama by having our guf perform mitzvahs, and we're able to get the nation is able to get close to the tzaddik by being mishamish the tzaddik. This allows him to break through the azus of the sitra achor, the brazenness of the other side, but that's sur me'rav. Well, now is ase tov. Now, what do we do with that? So just to, I wanted to mention he also brings from note 88 that there's actually, he brings three different ways of being Mishamish a Talmud Chacham, which is just important. It allows us to, what does it mean to be Mishamish a Talmud Chacham? One of them, he says, is actually somebody who is learning, but somebody who learns in depth. When we look in, let's say, a Mishnah, very often a person can see statements in a Mishnah and it seems to be one Machlaikas, and as a person learns Gemara, they'll see another Machlaikas about a different set of facts, a different Halacha, and the Gemara will end up saying, well, maybe these Tanayim are like those Tanayim, or maybe this machlokes lemikatanoi is actually the machlokes of Tanaim, but it's not. They seem to be arguing about something else. And the Gemara explains, no, the presentation, of the machlokes in a particular set of circumstances is just an expression of a legal principle. But that's just a particular application. The legal principle is the same in this instance as that instance, and then the Gemara will have one of a couple of reasons. Either it'll say, no, maybe they must be arguing about something else. There's no reason to have the same argument twice. Or it would say, oh, we see that the Amoroi are actually supported because we see that their position was already discussed by Tanaim. They both whom have who to rely on. But in order to be Mishamish the Talmud Chacham, to understand what was the Talmud Chacham saying when he presented a particular statement, a particular application of a rule, you need to delve deeper. You need to understand the underlying reason. You need to look at it, so to speak, as simen and siba, right? In other words, a cause and symptom. What was really underlying what a particular tzaddik said? That's how you're Mishamish the Talmud Chachamim. That's how you're bringing alive their Torah. Another way that he brings, note 88, I'm reading from Chaim Kramer, page 357. Another thing that he brings is that the study, the Shakla Vitaria, you can't just open up a Shulchan Aruch or a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Again, for the same reason sort of we said a second ago, you won't be able to be Madama Milsa La Milsa. You'll have a lot of ideas, but we live in this world. This ideas, we need to ground the Torah. We have to incorporate the Torah. We need to integrate the Torah. We need to take the Torah, and it has to be a Torah's Chaim for us. The study, the ideas, that's only a preparation for the final decision, but there is a stage at which we appreciate a Havamina, we appreciate the truth inherent in Havamina, and then there's a stage at which we're Asuke Shmaitza Libida Hilchasa. How are you Mishamish? When you see the final decision in practice, sometimes the Gemara will bring, in support of a Halacha, a Maisa Rav. We see how it was actually conducted, or you'll see a Tana that supported a particular position, but in practice he did something else. So seeing the actual Anhaga, being Mishamish, seeing the final decision in a Lemaisidik way, how the conduct, that's being Mishamish Atamid Chacham. And then the third thing is, the third way that he brings from Ksuvistaf Tzadi Vav, Amr Aleph, he says that the Gemara says that all of the chores that a servant performs for his master, a student should perform for his Rebbe, except for undoing his shoes. Okay, there's a sugi over there, but the idea of a Shemesh Talmidei Chachamim is literally just to serve the Talmud Chacham, although we know that even a true tzaddik, a true Talmud Chacham, even his mundane actions are mitzvahs also. Even the conversation, you can learn a tremendous amount from the sicha of a Talmud Chacham, of a tzaddik. But nevertheless, the idea of coming close, see, it's interesting, because on one hand, the tzaddik's mundane actions might be within Da'al Am Shalacha, is being Mekayim Shulchan Aruch. When the tzaddik ties his right shoe first, then it's not just a mundane task. He's being Mekayim Harein Mochan Mezoyim Mekayim HaMitzvah that stated in Shulchan Aruch, here's how I need to do everything. A person, how does he sleep on his side? Which limb he washes first in the shower? So that's not really a mundane action in a certain sense for Talmud Chacham. On the other hand, I'm trying to become close to the Talmud Chacham. So when I do those actions in my head, I'm not holding there. So for me, it's mundane. But perhaps you could say two things, I guess. Perhaps number one, you could say that when I serve the Talmud Chacham, so I'm doing it in service, it turns the idea of mundane actions into Kedusha and bridges that gap. But further, it just it bridges even on the relationship dick level of however I perceive my actions. It allows me to become close to the Talmud Chacham, and once you're aligned with somebody, so that opens up those connections. Okay, there's a lot of different ways that we could talk about this. So as we go into paragraph Tess, we're performing mitzvahs and we're serving the Bim Shamash Talmud Chacham, allowing us to break the azus of the Sitra Achra. In this section now, we're going to detail how one can be sure that his azus stems from holiness, that it's a boldness, as we said. Is it azus boldness or is it brazenness? Is it chutzpah? So a person now has azus, but it's very subtle. Are we reinforcing, are we fooling ourselves? Are we reinforcing a negative midah, or are we re-engaging in a positive midah? Says Rabbeinu in paragraph Tes, V'lovoy la'azos de kedusha hanal. How do we get, it's not always easy. How are we going to get this azus to Kedusha? We said the kol tza'aka, kol anocha, through sounds, kol ayiz, we need to be mishabra, we need to break the taiva, break the guf, not reinforce the guf. Person is learning with a chavrusa, and in the context of a sugya, but they mamash get angry at their chavrusa. Now, Baruch Hashem, it's better to get angry, I guess, in the base medrash than to get angry in the streets. However, if they're not just seeking the truth, and then they're getting very enthusiastic and worked up because the truth is important, what they're doing is that they're taking it personally. Even after they close the Gemara, they're still annoyed at the person. They're reinforcing the midah of anger. That's very, very subtle. This person might have worked on a lot of things, but he still might have to work on the midah of anger. He might not have worked on that one iota. By the way, you know, sometimes you have one of these pieces and you say, if you would listen to only one piece, then it was worth coming here for this. This has to just light us up right now. It's so deep when you read it. It's so obvious in a certain sense. It's clarity. It's emes. Hu al yidei simcha. Because simcha is a force. Simcha is an enthusiasm. Simcha is something that's larger than life. You can do something that transcends any koichas you have. The Baal HaTanya talks about the idea of atzvos. He says if two people are wrestling, even if one is physically stronger than the other, but he's lethargic, he's ba'atzvos, he's going to lose that battle. Simcha allows somebody to just be resilient, to come back for more. Somebody insults them, it doesn't make a difference. I'm settled, I'm menuchas nefesh, I'm doing exactly what I have to be doing, I have drive. And brazenness, the idea of a negative energy, of pushing back. I'm not trying to rise higher. I'm trying to push you down. So yes, I'm going to build myself up through some sort of a negative energy, right? That is a profound difference, which sometimes you might almost not be able to put your finger on it, but once you put your finger on it, you could tell that it's mikatsa lekatsa. V'bechinas ki chedvas Hashem, the delight in Hashem, himu uzchem, that's your strength, but we're learning that as lashon of azus, that is the azus, the chedvas Hashem, the delight in Hashem, that is the azus, the kedusha, that's how you get the azus kedusha. It's not just another redirection of the same energy, it's live energy, but is it negative energy or is it positive energy? It's not two competing things going in the same direction, it's two things going in opposite directions. One of them is a negative azus, it's a pushing back, it's a It's a trying to break you. It's a trying to cover up the Azda Kedusha. And the other one is attaching yourself to MS. It's anchoring yourself so that you're not going to get disturbed by any of the by any of the negative forces. Hainu al yidei bechinas nasa. There's a piece, I don't have it with me. Maybe next time we'll mention. I think it's the third letter in the Igros Chazon Ish. He talks about Chaim in the context of breaking midas. I have to see exactly Shfiras Hamidas. I have to see exactly what it says. But over here, a person is able to have simcha sachayim, true simcha, hainu al yidei bechinas nasev nishma shehu bechinas simchas. Let's go into that in a second, but I do want to just, I think it's important, I want to read just two notes from Rabbi Atiyah's print. If you have it, you have it, but if not, just listen, it's unbelievable. Note 142, he says, "Davar zeh achush yoy ki kshe'adam atzuv v'meduchtach." This, it's obvious, you see it in front of your face, the senses will tell you this. If a person is depressed, a person is crushed, kal ma'oid l'royim desitra achra lichvois olavas shibudam. When does a person all of a sudden have taivas, questions, they fall? Yes, everybody has taivas, we're human beings. This is part of life. When is a person most susceptible to these things? When they're depressed, when they're down. U'l'harach l'esayim ha'kedusha, ki hu noita Kalas Lamunas Kozvios. All of a sudden, they have questions. Things bother them. Why should I be sitting in the base medrash? Is this really what I should be doing with my life? There's a healthy way of making cheshbon and nefesh, but the things that are mafriya somebody, what bothers somebody, that's when they're feeling down. If a person is having certain questions and they're in an emotional state of depression, take those questions, write them down, put them aside. You can revisit them later. It could be that the substance of something has to be dealt with, but the idea of whether it bothers you, there could be a million things that come up. None of us know 100% of everything all the time. The fact that somebody has a question does not necessarily, it's not necessarily mafriya them. It doesn't necessarily push them off course. The fact that something is going to push somebody aside, that happens because of atzvos. K'moshe royim kol zeh b'metzias Hashem yirachim. L'umazos k'shadam b'simcha yeshli azis the kedusha, they persevere, they have strength. V'yeshli koyach l'skar l'shivas harayim hamitim shebacholdar, and they're able to attach themselves to the right leaders, right? And even just at machlekes among people, machlekes among leaders, right? Or seeing, perceiving machlekes among gedolim. All these things happen when something ain't right with me, when I'm ba'atzvah. So when I know that I'm doing the right thing, yes, okay, something happened. I have a question. What did the tzaddik mean by this? Why did it? Yeah, okay, I don't understand everything, but the idea of everything pushing me aside and dampening me, veino nirta me'arayim desitra achra lalu ki adam samechu adam chazak v'az letoiva. One more note we have to read, and is going to pull from the Likutei Halachas. He starts off saying that by Ezra Nechemib, when the Jews came up from the end of Golus Bavel at Bayesheni, Ezra Nechemib, they gathered all the people in Rosh Hashanah in the streets of Yerushalayim, and Ezra read the Torah in front of them, and they cried. That's a positive thing. They're making cheshbon and nefesh. They're clapping al chet. It's terrible. And they realized that they were over on so many of the halachas to the point that many of them, mamish, or some of them might not have been, you know, many in context, a group of them, it seems, married Goyim, and Torah Shabbat Peh tells us, Chazal tells us exactly what was going on. But without talking about judging the people or being critical, just in terms of the psukim, comes Ezra Nechemiah, it's Rosh Hashanah, Lachain, Ichlu Veshisu, Ki Asimchi, Koychachem. You want strength? Don't beat yourself up. What does the Metzudas David say in those psukim? Shashimcha, Shal Mitzvah, Hitit, Nechem, Oiz Vesatzumas. You need strength. You want to connect. The connecting is not through breaking yourself down. You want to break away the Azas, the Sitrach. You want to break away the negative energy. What you do is light it up and the darkness will recede. What do you can do? You're going to say darkness go away, but it's dark. You're not letting in any light. It has no place to go. You want the strength so that the klipa falls away. Just attach yourself to the light. Attach yourself to the simcha. And our Rabbeinu is not saying that just that the simcha is your me'uzcham, your strength. He says that that's in the context of our lesson, the Azas HaKadusha. Listen to the words of Likutei Halachas in Behema Tahira, Dalud Chavtes. Va'al te'otze ita'atzevu ki chedvas Hashem hi me'uzcham. What does it mean? Ki ze ikar ha'azhara shehizra yisam oz nechemia. And Ezra also, kisherosh nafalem yir v'fachad gadol. Kishkolifneem is a Torah. They're reading the Torah and the people are v'fachad. You might say, that's great. That's great that people finally are getting it. It's finally hitting home. Let them sit and cry. It's good for them. Why? Because they saw that they were over Oz Kimat al Kola Taira. Ki nichlu Oz Benashim Nachrius. Al Kain Amr Lahem. What did the Navi tell them? Sha'afal Pisha Asu Masha Asu. You did what you did. That would, forget about what you did. We'll clean up the spilled milk later. We're not worried about that right this second. You did it. That's where you're holding right now. So that's where your avoda is. But what's your avoda? Va'alshav nafal alem yirav nesara b'tshuva. Now you have a sarah b'tshuva. Now you're turned. Forget about where you're holding. Where are you facing? You're facing in the right direction. Okay, you nizhar ma'oid ma'oid me'atzvus. Be careful that you don't get depressed, because now what you need, if anything, now that you're so low, what you need is the strength to break through. Be'bechinas va'al te'atzevu. Shelo yavo'u al yidei ha'yira v'ha'pachad la'atzvus chas v'shalom. Don't come to Yira and Fachad, ki ezva, shalo yavo al Yira v'ha'pachad la'atzvus chas v'shalom, that your Yira and Fachad shouldn't bring you to depression. Ki chedvas Hashem hi mu'uzchem. It's the simcha, it's the delighting in Hashem, that's your strength, that's your azdas, that's what's going to allow you to break free. Ki Hashem yizbarach mechazek oisonu b'simcha v'chedva b'chol mokom she'anachnu sham. Where's your avoda? Hashem is with you. Hashem is with you in the choyshech, Hashem is with you in the darkness. That is where you are. Now the question, what's your avoda now? Forget about your avoda over what happened in the past. Yes, you need to be in tzara, but you have the tshuva. Now you're in tzara b'tshuva. What do you do going forward? You need to break away. How are you going to break away? You can't just have the negative energy of pushing everything else down. You need to have the simcha. The simcha is what's going to Baruch Hashem. Ah, I have a simcha that I'm connected with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I have the right priorities now. Everything else will fall away. And if there's other al-chaits that I have to clap, I'll deal with that because it's part of my avoda, and I'm going to have a simcha in the avoda of tshuva. K'moshom Rabbeinu Shafilu Madam Hu K'moshe Hu Techef Shem Shor Lashav Hashem Is Baruch Techef Hu Aver G'doy L'Shiyesh L'Azhar Shem. What is better than a person who was doing all the wrong things, who had the wrong priorities, who now literally has unbelievably the right priorities? That's something mamash to dance over. We've said so many times that the biggest gilui kvod Hashem Yisbarach is when the people that are the farthest away come close. Now you've been facing in the wrong direction, and now finally, not just facing the wrong direction, you've been barreling forward in the wrong direction. Now you come forward to want to literally turn around. Is there any better simcha to have than that? What, I was going in the right direction, now I'm going faster. I mamash had an about face, throw a party. V'alkein gam b'rosh Hashanah v'yom ha'kippurim tzrichon l'schazek l'yais b'simcha kana'al. Okay, that is, if that doesn't light you up, then I don't know what possibly could. So back in the text, it says that this is what we need. Bechinas ki chedvas Hashem hu me'uzchem haynu ayde bechinas naseh v'nishma. This is a bechina of mamash naseh v'nishma. That when a person does the shimush, they make themselves receptive, they do the nasa, that's the asiya part. Va'azis the kedusha, the Ibn Nachal explains, now comes from the nishma. Now, I put aside the mefarshim, the Paparas L'Chachma, I think, has a discussion how really nasa and nishma is totally threaded throughout this entire lesson. I'm just going to reference now, note, the part of the note 3, just from the very beginning of Rav Chaim Kramer's notes, where he starts to lay out some of the ways that Naseh v'Nishma is threaded throughout this lesson. He says that Naseh is a bechina of Taira, and Nishma is a bechina of Tefillah. Naseh is a bechina of Nigla, and Nishma is a bechina of Nistar. Naseh is what we have in front of us. Nishma is what we don't have yet. It's Nistar. We're davening. We're trying to bridge a connection. And when we do Tefillah, like we said in previous Tairas, that you're trying to attach yourself something even over Teva, not because it's hidden from the Teva the way that we see it, but it's perfect. Is it Teva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did anything he wants. We're connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask him for something. That sounds perfectly rational to me, but it's hidden. And there's different levels. There's Nase. Nase is the Nigla. Nishma, like we spoke about in the past Torah, in terms of the Makifin, there's two parts really that are part of Nishma, the part of the Nistar. One is the yearning, the desiring to pray for the higher level, to acknowledge its existence. In the last Torah, we went through this in depth. The idea that now I have a relationship with something outside of myself and I can even daven for it. And then the other is actually attaining that higher level. And that's so there's Nasa, there's the Torah and the mitzvahs that I do. And now I daven for mitzvahs that I don't even relate to. And then finally, I dip my toe and I start to do those mitzvahs. And I keep on attaining ever higher levels of Nasa v'Nishma. It's not a process. It's not a process that finishes. I think I mentioned once, I remember, I don't know who was speaking, but somebody was speaking by Reb Chaim Kanievsky's one of the Spanim, Zechatzadeh Kodesh Levracha, And he mentioned, you know, the Rav Chaim Kanievsky was just his the way that we related to him. I mean, larger than life, Ashkenazim, Sfaradim, Hasidim, Litvish, everybody. Whether people talked about his Karet Kalutar or Kula Seder, just larger almost than any limitations. And it might have been Rav Aaron Feldman from Nesrael Shlita, but anyway. There was lots of us paid in. And he says, so what did we lose? In other words, we're making such a big deal about it. And he suggested that what Rav Chaim Kanievsky did was almost more than any of us can really relate to in a practical sense. But to say that a human being was not capable of it, you couldn't say that, because we had a Rav Chaim Kanievsky in the world. We had a human being that tells us that this is within the human capability. Maybe I can't do it. Kol Tara Kula. I can't do it once a year. Can I take that Seder and divide it up over 10 years, over 20 years? Sure, I can. Maybe a person, or if you look through the Seder, might be perfectly attainable. And then if you do Chazara, who knows, in whatever realm you want to talk about it, right? Nothing was undoable, because you can't say something's undoable when somebody's doing it. Once Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal was Nifter, so now it's something that you're going to read about. It's something in the storybook. It's something that, oh, the Chafetz Chaim did this. Do I believe all the stories? Do I believe some of the stories? The person was an angel. Is it real? It's somebody from the generations of past. It's something that we don't relate to as a practical way. So we have this. That's what happens when you attach yourself to a tzaddik. You can attach yourself to something that's larger than you. You go through this process. Nase, it's what I do. I break down my Az Kedusha and Nishma, and I make myself receptive to something that I hear that it's farther away from me. I heard it, and now I'm going to incorporate it, and then I'll move until that's the Nase, and I'm going to continue to go through this process. So Nase v'Nishma, though, when we're linking that to Zavahu Bechina Simcha, this is a Bechina of Simcha. It says, over here, the Divrei Zoya, the B'mei Nachal Tzien, the Divrei Tekunei Zor, it says, "Bahahu Zimna Da'amru Yisrael Nasa V'Nishma Miyad Yismchu Hashemayim V'Sogei La'aretz." They rejoiced. The world rejoiced. K'mo Shomer B'Zenzer Korn of the Brach B'Shoshem Yisrael Nasa V'Nishma Yardu Shishim Riba Malachim. The 600,000 Malachim came down V'Nasun Shnei Atoros Barosh and put crowns on the Jews' heads. K'mar and Shabbos Kol Echad. The end of the Gemara says Kol Echad Keneged Nasa V'Echad Keneged Nishma K'shachatu, when they sinned by the Egel Nilkachu, that these crowns were taken from them. However, but once we had it, it wasn't totally gone. We had a relationship with it. We have the Koyches V'Asid. Once a person does something in every area of life, now it's doable. A person worked out, they stopped working out, it's much easier to get it back the second time. If you knew something and you forgot it, it's much easier to do it again the second time, right? V'Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'achzirim Lehem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's L'Asid Lavo is going to give us back. We have a relationship with these crowns, but what were those crowns? Shenemar V'Simchas Oilam Al Roisham. The Simchas Oilam is on their head, it's like a crown, it's on top, and it's going to return. We're going to get it back, these crowns, but those crowns are Simchas Oilam Al Roisham. Nimsa Shenase V'Nishmaim Bechinas Simcha. So we see the relationship of Nase v'Nishma, this process with Simcha. Bechinas v'Simchas Oilam al Roisham Kanal. Just two brief points mentioned. He quotes here from Likutei Halachos that first of all, Nase came before Nishma. It says it's Moiral Oitzem Chukas Ritzoinim Shu B'Toikav Gadol. The Nase that we're going to do even before we hear about it, the idea that we're going to jump in, that is Simcha. That's associated with Ratzon. Ratzon is associated with Keser. Simcha on the deepest of levels is able to connect us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he mentions over here, or Ratio also mentions over here, the idea of combining Nase v'Nishma of Torah and Tefillah. Torah is consequence. There's Charva Einesh from Mitzvahs and Averis, but when we connect it with tefillah, we have the Nas and Nishma together, it goes through Simcha, then that's where that can bring a mituk in the din, because tefillah is a bechina of rachmim. So again, sort of bring us back to what we started the Torah with, to bring a mituk in the din, a mituk in the gzeira, when we have, now we engage in Nasa v'Nishma, Torah and Tefillah together, which brings Simcha, brings a connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which changes the dynamic in the world. Now we're attached, we're breaking through, we're attached to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we want that the gzar din should be at a higher altitude, not subject to any of the sitra achra, to any of the other negative kochos in the world, to turn the din into a din achzari, but rather we're attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Rachmim, so that also is able to affect the mituk in the gzar din. Okay, so now we explained that to be zoicha to emuna shlema, which is the outer chaysim, the chaysim of the adayim, which is able to preserve, act as a protection, allow the inner chaysim to do its job, the tzaddikim of bechina of raglin, to have a mituk in the gzardin. How are we able to preserve that emuna, or how are we able to build that emuna? We have to build the emuna in the chacham. We have to be able to draw down from the shiva royim. How do we get close to the Shiva Rayim? How do we not get distracted? And how do we not get our strength diverted to the negative leaders? How do we attach to the true leaders and not just the immediate influences? That's through an Azus of a Kedusha, which requires Simcha, and we linked Simcha to a Bechina of Nasa V'Nishma. Now we're going to take a step back. At the end, we'll try to sum this up. The Bibei Nachal has a summary of Chaim Kramer brings it on the note on page 364. We're now going to explain that Nasa V'Nishma is a Bechina of Bereshis Bara, which we're going to associate with Nigla and Nistar, with Tyra and Tfila. We're going to come back and start addressing the Safra Ditznayusa, the passage that we started off the Tyra with all the way at the beginning. Vida. Kishnei ha'adoyim, the two crowns, shechtiru b'chayrev, the two crowns of Nasa v'Nishma that the Klal Yisrael received by Har Sinai, minasa v'Nishma, these were a bechina, we said, of simcha, through which a person can be, or Klal Yisrael can be zeicha to azus, to kedusha, to attach himself with the muna, to the leaders, to the tzaddikim, to the chachamim, through which there's his batla, so that on a klaliistic level, there's an attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the MS. And just bring it to the first point, through this attachment, whatever need there was for Chas V'Shalom, Rachmana Litzlan, a Gzeira for Yisurim, we can have that attachment through the Tzaddik, we can do a Tshuva, and we can obviate the need for the Din, have this Mitaka Din. Now this Nasa V'Nishma, or later on, we're going to draw a contradiction between Ma'amar Chazal. In one hand, it seems that Klal Yisrael lost the crowns, and Moshe Rabbeinu was given the crowns of Nasa V'Nishma. Rav Chaim Kramer brings this on page 360, and so that when the Jews sinned and Moshe Rabbeinu now had the crowns, in order to achieve the connection that would have been used through the crowns or through this Nasa V'Nishma, that now comes through an attachment to the Tzaddik. He also brings that a Medrash in Dvarim Rabbah that Moshe Rabbeinu tells them after the Egel, you lost Nasa, so be certain to guard Nishma, but that they still had Nishma, so did they lose both crowns? Did they lose one crown? We're going to have to address that. So, but over here it says, Bereshis is a mimer. And Bereshis, this comes from a Gemara really that says that the world, the creations was with 10 ma'amarim, but it only says Vayomer 9 times. And we say Bereshis Nami Maimerhu. One way that we've discussed this in the past is that Bereshis means the creation of time. If to have a hechatimtza of creation without having some sort of a timeline to create something, it means a second ago it wasn't created and now it is. You're able to affect change. If there's no possibility of any sort of a change, there's only a insaifius haya hayviviya, then there's no possibility of creating. The other HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into place the hechatimtza of creation, and the other 9 unfolded mikayach alapayel. However, we define it over here, Bereshis da Maimer, Bara Chatzi Maimer. Let's just read a little bit on, right? Even just the words Bereshis. Bereshis, if you cut it in half, is one word, and then Bara is the first half of that word, is half a Maimer, but more. Da Eden Ilah, Eden Tata, Chachma Ilah, Chachma Tata, Av Uben. We're going to say that Nishma is the full complement of, in other words, first of all, when you have something that's bekayach, so then within the potential exists the actual. When you actualize potential, in a certain sense, it's able to go from A to B. It has a certain more of a... It's more tangible, or articulable, but it's also a narrowing. If you take a raw emotion and you put it into words, so then in a certain way it's limiting. Once you actualize it, the bekayach, it's broader, it represents the full complement. That's going to be the way that we're discussing it, it's nishma. We spoke earlier, and coming from the last tire, that there's the pnimius, and then there's the makifin. There's what you already do, what you already relate to, and then there's going on to the next step, something that you don't relate to yet. As you advance, you'll realize that the more advanced thing that you are is inclusive of what you had before. Now you internalize that, you turn that into the actual, and you're able to reach something higher, something more abstract. That's nishma, something in the future, something that you will hear, something that you haven't heard yet, something that's behelim, something that's hidden. Nishma is bereshis, it's the complement, it's Eden Elyon, Chochmei La, it's Av, it represents all of that. Nasa is the chatzi maimer, it's going to be the Eden Tachton, the Chochma Tachtona, It's a bechina of ben. Why? Ki nasev and nishma, these are the crowns that Klal Yisrael received on Har Sinai, who bechinas nistarois v'niglois, the things that we are able to relate to and the things that we have yet to relate to, maybe not even yet in this stage of the world, maybe not until the next stage. Nase hu bechinas niglois, nase, what we are going to do, it's something that we're actual, we can do b'maisa, that's a bechin of nigla, something that we understand. Hainu ha-mitzvahs, the practical part of the mitzvahs, she'efshe l'kol echa l'kayim l'fi madregaso, what a person is able to achieve, accomplish, relate to now, v'nishma, what they're going to hear, he bechinas nistarais, it's something that's still, for right now, it's behelim, it's hidden, it's there, but it has not yet been actualized. It's like, we could use the example of like a coal, if you blow on it, the flame is there, but even if you cut the coal in half, you're not going to see the flame, there has to be something there to activate it, so it's there, you're not introducing anything else, although there has to be a process, you have to blow on it, kayach achram urav ba, like we just said in Bava Kama, you have to actualize it, and then what was there can end up coming out, but it's not yet begaloi. Mashu gavoya v'nister mimenu, what's above it, what it's still hidden, she'enu yochel asos avoda b'zeh, right now, it's not yet our avoda. I remember hearing a point that somebody made one time when a person's reading Gedolim books, a lot of the stories that are spoken are really b'tayrus a simen, not a siba. They're indicative, they're illustrative of a certain type of behavior, of a certain type of a level, but that's not how they reached it. A friend of mine was one time was reading one of these musters for him that spoke about stories of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik, Kaddish Levracha, and he said, you know, not only are these not stories that I relate to, many of them would be usher for me to actually do. That's simply not my avoda, I'm not there, that's not where my family is. A person has to understand what their avoda is, so yes, it's important to have goalposts, to understand where to strive to, but to do an avoda that's not where you're holding, a person who's learning by learning an hour a day, so learn an hour and 5 minutes a day, learn an hour and 10 minutes a day, a person that says, you know what, that's it, a new leaf, I'm going to learn 10 hours a day, at some point they'll either just break or it won't even necessarily change him. A person has to do avoda that speaks to him, that's where he's holding, that's avoda. Otherwise it could be games. Obviously we're speaking very broad strokes. A person needs to have a rebbe, have chaverim, and make cheshbon nefesh. L'mashal, etzel kol mitzvah yesh dvarim shesviva is hamitzvah. So when it comes to mitzvahs we said are begaloi, there are things that are sviva is hamitzvah. Besides for what's begaloi, even the way that the Torah presents the mitzvah, there's other things that are in the Torah, other parts of the Torah that are around the mitzvah. We know that every single word in the Torah, every letter, how many drushes are there by something, an extra letter in the Torah, that there's an extra vav, whether a vav is, you know, a conjunction, it's and, or even if maybe it's spelled with a vav or without a vav, where it's a plural word that's spelled in a way that's singular, and these are might be part of the pasuk that doesn't even necessarily go to the heart of the description of the mitzvah. We'll speak about this in two ways. One is that he brings examples over here. For instance, by Petra Chamar, the mitzvah starts Kadesh li kol bachar, but the pasuk starts off, but it says Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lemer Kadesh li kol bachar. Is this just an introduction? Is this just filler? There's a mitzvah of an alosasi. It says Vayomer Moshe la'am zocher siyom ha'azeh asher yitzasim mitzrayim beis avadim ki b'chayzik yara ha'yitzi Hashem eschem mizeh v'lo yechol chametz. But again, there's an introduction by Yom Moshe La'am. There's secrets and things that are equally as important, but in a different way than what's explicitly said in the Pesukim related to a tangible, articulable mitzvah. And he says, let's one more thought, but I'm going to read a few more lines first. V'avoda sheyesh b'diburei ha'Torah halalu shesvivas ha'mitzvah, what you might think on the surface is filler. Heim bechinas nishma bechinas nister. Rashi really, and the Ramban talks about it also, is omed on this at the very beginning, or in the beginning of the Torah. The first Rashi, I think, says, well, really, why doesn't the Torah start with Achaydesh Zelachem? If the Torah is a book of mitzvahs, then it should start with the first mitzvah. And yet, so the Ramban, that's already a question on Rashi, says that Emunah is our anchor, Emunah is at the heart. Why is this a chiddush to say, why did the Torah not leave out the parsha of Bereishis? But it's a question. In other words, how are we relating to the Torah? If it's benigla, besides for how the Rishonim deal with the answers, but just to appreciate what we're asking, if the Torah is essentially a message, the message is how we should live our life, we have the Taryag mitzvahs, the positive mitzvahs, the negative mitzvahs, and then there's filler either just literally, like we said, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, or even the stories, are those on a lower level, on a higher level, on a different level? How do we relate to that? Ki a mitzvah ba'atzman yuchayim l'kayim, that's going to be the nasa. Acha avoida sheyesh be'elu adiburim ein anu yoidim. Some of the things that seem to be in the words around the mitzvahs, they don't seem to be giving us a definite call to action. So is there, what should we be learning from this? Is there bechinas nishma bechinas nister? This is something that's nister. I'm going to just reference the Likutei Halachos in Yoredeya Chelik Beis. Halachos of Mila says, Be'emes lo haisa ha-Torah tzricha l'sapa rak etzem ha-mitzvahs. Really, the Torah could have just, and potentially, if we think about it, should have just been giving us mitzvahs, giving us directions. Kagon mitzvahs tzitzis, mitzvahs tefillin. This is really the Iker Torah k'dei l'kayim mitzvah said. That's the basis of Rashi's question. What about the Sipurim of the Torah from Bereishis ad Achor? Like we just referenced, which is Chayde Shazalachem is the mitzvah Rishayna, and all of the other stories that come after that. Even embedded within the mitzvahs, after we start Chayde Shazalachem, by most mitzvahs, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe, like we said. He says, "Ikar haTorah is the mitzvah atzma. Kol elu asipurim, kol elu adivrei Torah, shasvivus kol mitzvah. All of these things that you would think are introductions, are fillers. Zeu bechinas haTorah nelemes. There's hidden things to learn from there. Shu gavaya yoyser min haTorah shebenigla. We're just not sensitive to it, so you think it's not real. There's colors outside of the spectrum of colors, outside of Roy G. Biv, as ultraviolet. You can't see it. You think it's less substantial. There's maybe things on sound waves that are outside of the realm of what you can hear. They're less substantial." But they're not less substantial. It happens to be that that's because of your limitations. That's because of our limitations in terms of the effect, in terms of what could affect even in this world, that something that doesn't have our limitations, or in the Ilamais. Right, so that is incredibly precise. Just to use an example that we might be able to relate to, if you talk about to a chemist or somebody who's a physicist, and you go over to them and you want to connect two things, and you say, well, what's the difference? Why can't I just put any two things together? But if you put it together, there might be certain gases. Some of them you might see or smell. Some of them you might not. So imagine talking to a scientist today and telling him, oh, what's the difference? Why can't you just put these two things together? It's good enough for a connection. He tells you, well, because these two metals will act as conductors and those won't. These two gases, well, one will be a catalyst and the other won't. And they will say, oh, that makes sense. But what if you were talking to somebody 500 years ago, somebody that didn't have that information? Or for that matter, just a first grader. And he knows that this first grader knows that electricity conducts metal. But he says, well, what's metal? Metal is something that's cold and hard. So I could just use a cold rock. So why can't I just use a rock for electricity? Who knows? Use any example that makes sense to you. But the bottom line is that does it make something less real, the fact that it's not within our realm of understanding? Absolutely not. I do just want to reference over here Torah Yud Gimel, if you want to go back. If you remember this Torah, don't remember this Torah, Yud Gimel, Chelek Beis. Okay, just so that these are not net new concepts. It all comes together. I'm just going to quote for 1 minute from Beis, and then another section of Yud Gimel in a second. It says, this is Yud Gimel, paragraph Beis. Ebechinas hisgalus haTorah shel ha'asid lavo, the hisgalus of Torah that's going to be when we're no longer limited by the this-worldly frame of perception. Kemuvah b'zayir shel ha'asid yisgalo yuraisa datika stima. The ha'asid lavo, we're going to have a different level of giloy, a different altitude of giloy. Further in paragraph Hey, in the middle he says, but listen to his words over here. These hidden secrets, where are they? These are in the Sipurei Torah. One aspect of what we're talking about is Behelam. And over there, Rabbi Atiya brings a Zohar. He says, we'll just listen to the words because we read it before, but we'll read it again. It's important. Rabbi Shimon, where is this Zohar? If you want to look it up. Bahaloischa. Chelek Gimel Daf Kuf Nun Beis. Okay, this is language of the Zohar. Tipshin Da Alma, the stupid ones of the world. La Mestakli El Bahu Levusha, they're looking only at the Levush of the Torah. Diyu Sipur Doraisa, they think the stories, and they say, well, a story, that's just surface deep. Velo Yodi Yatir, and they don't understand any more than that. Velo Mestakli Bema Diyu Tchoysa Hu Levusha, and they don't understand what's underneath that Levush. Inun Diyadin Yatir, those who understand that there's more La Mestaklin Belevusha, they they don't get trapped by the interface, by the way that it presents itself. They understand what's really underneath it, what's underneath Al-Basha. Chakimin avdei de malka ilah inun de kaima betura de Sinai. The chachamim, that they are the avodim of Hamelach, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ones that stood at Sinai, lo mistakli ela benishmasa. They looked at the neshama of the Torah, what was the inside, the truth of it, the ikra de kula raisa mamish, because those secrets, that's really the ikra of the Torah, ula zimna de asi and lasid lavo, zminin listakala benishmasa, the nishmasa de raisa. We're going to see the inner of the Torah. And further, he says, Rab Shimon Amra vaila hu barnash, da amra oivei, to the person that he says, da hai raisa asa lachzasi pura ba'alma, that the Torah is just stories, umilin that yaite, somebody's coming and going, di hachi afilu bezimna da. Because if so, that even in Zman Hazeh, Anan Yechaylin Lemebad Araisa, we can make our own Tyro. We can make poetry that's nicer, stories that are better, B'milin De'ad Yaita, in simple words, B'shvachi Yatar Mikulu, and praises that are even better. One second, what's the place? Achza Mila Da Alma, just trying to bring out some things of the world. Afilu Inun Kafsire Da Alma, even other Majlim, Ispe Nau Milin Ilan Yatir. Maybe that was good for then. But this is for now. Ihachi Nazel, I heard one time a beautiful piece, just to interrupt for a second. I forgot who I heard it from, but he said, Naseh v'nishma, there's a famous question, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over the Klal Yisrael's heads. Ikavulein har kegigas. And the question is that this was after Naseh v'nishma. Naseh v'nishma was a full-blown acceptance of the Torah. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to then hold the mountain over the heads of the Jews? Maybe it was Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz, I don't remember, but it could be. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu then have to hold the mountain over the heads of the Jews to say, you have to accept this? They already accepted it. It was the greatest statement of acceptance ever. And he explained that if you would have said Naseh v'nishma, then that means that they looked around the world and they accepted it. You gave them a presentation of something and they acknowledged that it was 100% appropriate. But then the world changes, information changes, social norms change. Look around the world now, the way that people relate to certain things. We don't have to go into details, and you almost don't know what's right, which one is more advanced. Yeah, and that doesn't mean that what the Torah said was wrong. When they accepted the Torah, maybe it was 100% right in terms of the way to relate to certain norms and family ideas. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did was said, the way that I remembered, he said, no. Listen, when you said Naseh v'nishma, you looked around, and Klal Yisrael understood that this is 100% the truth. But lo yitzur, lest you're going to come later, and you're going to say, yes, it was true, and there has been a transition into something else. What does it mean that Kofel and Haikagiyas, that it was over their heads? It means that it was muchruch. It was, you acknowledged it was true, but that's not what makes it true. The idea that it was, that truth stands on its own, that it's objective truth, that it's anchored outside of anything in the world. It's ha-makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the universal context. The Torah is coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's mochrach. That has to be. The mountain is over your heads. You can either acknowledge that 2 plus 2 is 4, or you don't have to. The Klal Yisrael did acknowledge it, and they accepted it with Naseh v'nishma. But what made it true was not the fact that they accepted it. What made it true is that it's true. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a chance to say Naseh v'nishma, to accept it, to acknowledge it on their own, and then he showed them that they were able to see through, and they say yes, that this is true, that we accepted it, but it's true forever because it's inherently true. And he says otherwise, if it would not be like that, we can make another Torah. Chas v'shalom. Ela kol milin d'oraisa, milin ilan inun, v'rozen ilan. What we're talking in the Torah is that every single word, every letter, everything about the Torah, some of it is nase, some of it is begaloi, some of it is something we can relate to, and some of it is nishma, some of it is beyond us. We're not there yet. However, the nase is the chatzi mimer. It's what we relate to, but we understand that there's a nishma. There's something that's way beyond that. V'zeh b'chinas Torah u'tfila. Nase bechinas, hu bechinas taira, hainu anigleis. Nase is the bechina of taira, the command part of the Torah, the instruction. Mashiyadei lekayim, what we're able to relate to. By the way, quotes over here in the note, go back, and there's a Tikkun Ezer that's brought in Torah Ches Chelek Zayin, talking about the Torah and Tefillah coming together, but not for now. So he says, v'nishma, Heim bechinas nistarais, bechinas dibure ha-taira, shema diburim shel ha-taira, shesvivas kol mitzvah, shem bechinas nistar kanal. Now, both can go together. Maybe you'll say, listen, I can only talk about what I can relate to, but if you only talk about what you can relate to, so then does that mean that you are having some sort of a glimpse into infinity? In other words, there's something that's a million miles long, and there's something within your field of view, but you understand that that represents the tip of something that's infinite, that's much greater, and now you attach yourself to something much greater through that. But or does that mean that my field of vision is 10 feet, so that means that as far as I'm concerned this is only 10 feet? Then you're taking away, you're undermining that part that you relate to as well. It's very important, even though there's nigla, that you relate to that as being part of something much larger, that you're only relating to, that there's levels of the iceberg. You're only relating to that part you see, but that doesn't represent what it actually is, even the part you see. She'en yodeh ech lavod b'zeh Hashem Yisbarach. But l'maisa, the chelik of what we have avoda is part of the nigla, and therefore nishmas bechinas tefila she dveikus kishmiya tolya beliba. So what's tefila? Tefila is dveikus. Tefila is something that's totally in the lave. It's totally the lashon of tefila. It says that tefila is malchus. David Amel says vani tefila. It says naftuli elukim. Tefila is a hischabrus. Tefila is where we attach to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. That attachment, the relationship, almost by definition, is much larger than anything that we understand. Again, the relationship between a parent and, let's say, a infant, a mother and the infant the second it's born, is not a infant relationship. A parent with a five-year-old is not a five-year-old relationship. The depth of the relationship is much, much deeper, maybe much, much deeper than anything between adults. And yet, if you ask the five-year-old to understand in its own terms what that relationship is made of, the five-year-old really has no idea. It's very simplistic. The depth of the relationship is almost by definition something that's deeper than what we can relate to. That's tefillah. That's dveikus. He brings over here from the Kutim Aran Tinyana Torah Pedal. Maybe we should talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Iker Tefillah should be really in our own words, very into his Baididus. But Lemaisa, we have the Nevi'im, the Anshei Knesset Sagadela, that gave us magic words and the key to opening up certain things. So we have the Tefillah of the Anshei Knesset Sagadela, so there's we leverage both, which is a greater discussion, not for now. But as far as tefillah, as far as the dveikus, as far as something that resonates from within us much, much deeper, that is the lev. He asks actually an interesting question over here, going a drop longer than I thought, but he asks an interesting question. He says, Nase v'nishma doesn't seem to make sense. First of all, how can you do what you didn't hear? And second of all, it says, Vayomer kol asher diber Hashem nase v'nishma, but Hashem already said. So what do you mean, nase will do and then we'll hear? But the diber, it says, kol asher diber Hashem, the diber actually came from first. So if you hear what was spoken to do, so really the words came first. And he says, no, there's a difference between, so to speak, like listening and hearing, right? In other words, if there's an intent listening doesn't mean that you heard something. It could be in the background. It could be you could even parrot it back. The idea of listening is something to resonate, to internalize to something. And I'll say one level deeper, sort of in my own language. When you hear something, is it that I want something? You don't know what I want, so you hear it. In order to be able to do, what's the product, what's the connection, what's actually this chabris between us? Really, the substance of the instruction. Now, I have to say it in a way that's palatable, in a way that, you know, tone can make all the difference. I say it in a way that's palatable in order that you should be able to do the instruction to get it done, because I need something done. Alternatively, I'll tell you, no. What's the product? The product is the connection. I want you to go do something for me, but the truth is I don't really need it done. Why am I telling you to do something? Because through your listening and understanding my needs and executing on a certain way, that's going to show and create and then show the connection. The product is the connection. I myself should think about this concept many, many more times, but think about this many, many more times. When you talk about tefillah, you're asking a Kaddish Baruch Hu, it's a profound difference. Night and day. You're asking Kaddish Baruch Hu for health. You're asking Kaddish Baruch Hu for wealth. Are you asking because you need something and therefore but if you could theoretically get it without asking, then you wouldn't need to ask? Or is it no? The connection is the product, and it's just that a Kaddish Baruch Hu set up a dynamic world where you need to ask for things in order that there should be grounds to create a connection. We could talk about this for another hour and a half. Think about it. We'd love to hear from you. It's a much different way to understand tefillah. But what that means is that since the connection is so much deeper than anything that we could possibly imagine, it's all behelim. It's all hidden. It's much deeper than we can think. He asks for Lev Shemeya. He wants Havanas Halev to be able to judge. The Lev Bina is Shmia. It's in Bina, right? So he says Va'avoida Shebalev Zu Tefila. This relates to Tefila. Hainu Bittel Dvekis La'insof. Tefila is not my understanding. Tefila is not my doing. It's not doing something Begaloi. Tefila is where it's in the connection, it's in the lave, it's batlas, it's being vatal myself to a relationship, something greater than anything that I can imagine. Vavoda shav lave zut fila hainu bitul advekas la ein sof ki ein sof u bechinas ma she'ein by tfisa, because by definition I don't have a tfisa. Every time I understand something, I understand how much there is to know. Every time I get to the end of a room and I open the door, I see a room that's even much larger than it. I can get ever closer to the ein sof. Every time I reach the plateau, I realize how nice the view is, and I want to get an even higher view. So that there's a part of tefillah that's something that we can't relate to. That's a bechin of nister, who bechinas tefillah. That's really a bechin of tefillah, which again goes together. In other words, if you have something infinite that you have no relationship to, or in our, like we said before, the pnimi and the makif and the avoda, if there's something that you just have no attachment to, there's no bridge, there's no point at which you relate to it, so then you're not navigating. Going to go 0 to 1. On the other hand, if you only relate to something on your own terms without realizing that it's just a taste, it's the tip of the iceberg, it's something that's much greater, and the more that you know, the more that you're going to then relate to the next level. So then also you have nothing. Taira and Tfila be'etzem go together. The Nigla and the Nista, the Nasa and the Nishma. U'me'achar she'en lo dveikos. Ubechinas tefila dveikus shehu rak bitul le'ainsof. Tefila is where you understand, you grab onto that piece that you have this dveikus, this hishtoikus, to do something, a thirst. What's a thirst? Where there's a lack, there's a chaser. Like we saw that in the beginning of Torah Ches, that a person groans, they bring in the Ruach Chaim. It could be that there could always be luxury, I could always eat something that tastes good, but where there's a thirst, that means that there's a need, I'm filling a gap. And the more that you understand that there's Ruach Chaim, that there's Eitz Chaim, that there's Torah, that there's Ribono Shel Olam, that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more that you realize that no matter what step you thought that you achieved, that there's something lacking. Now, just coming back, by the way, to the contradiction we asked before, so did Moshe Rabbeinu take both crowns? The Tzaddik has both crowns? Or is it that the people kept the Nishma, and the way that he explained over here in the note, I think it was the Be'ibei Hanachal, the way that he explained, let me just see so I can quote the right... the right thing. Yeah, he said the Bible, I think the Ibn Nachal. So he says that there's three different things. There's Nasa, but there's two levels of Nishma. There's Nasa, which is the Galah that you relate to. There's Nishma, that's the Pnimi. There's Nishma, which is the Makif and the things that you're working towards, that Ne'elam, and we have to rely on the Tzaddik for this, to create this connection. We had it, we lost it. Therefore, we have a Mun and Tzaddik, and we draw from the Shiva Rome. We connect ourselves to the Tzaddik, and we relate to the Avoda, the Tzaddik, and we're the ones that have this Hispatlus. But there's another level of Nishma. What's that Nishma? That's the product. It's not a hechatimtza. It's a product. It's a thing. It's a hishtaikikus. It's a desire. It's a relationship. It's something. It's something that, who are our ambitions? What are our goals? I might not reach 100 steps. I might only take 5 steps, but those 5 steps are going to be in the direction. What's going to pull me there? The goal and the ambition of reaching the end. That desire, ratzon hishtaikikus, that's also part of nishma. That's what draws me out. That's what creates the connection that I'm looking towards, that we still have. And that part, says Moshe Rabbeinu, that you lost the Nasa, but keep the Nishma, because that's the anchor that's going to keep you connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Tzaddik, through the Tzaddik, and through this, through Torah and Tefillah. So that's Be'etzem, how we're able to have Nasa V'Nishma, Simcha, the Azaz, the Kedusha, to attach yourself to the right Tzaddikim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have a Mituk in the Din.